This is a replay of the Tuesday night, June 20th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evening, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. Whatever's on your mind will certainly be on mine. Not that I have a lack of things to talk about. There's always something, isn't there? Firstly, last night, someone asked, have you heard from James? And, you know, James is our listener, who James from the South Side, who sends me thousands, and I'm not exaggerating, thousands of links. And some are just terrific. And most are downright depressing, but that's the state of the world. However, I just realized the last link that he sent was the 18th of June. So, James, if you're out there, I hope all's well. Hope you're just taking a break from bad news. So, yeah, we have plenty of that. I was just talking to Bob, who is in tonight for Adam, who will hopefully be back tomorrow. But in the meantime, Bob and I are muddling through, and he was telling me about what David Jennings had been discussing on the White Sox game. And I found that interesting. Of course, we don't have any details yet. Was the driver impaired or on a mission or what have you? And I'm sure as soon as David Jennings knows, we will too, if not tonight, soon. But in another way, I keep saying this, that everybody is operating as if they were on their last nerve. I mean, it's collectively just spiraling out of control. And, you know, every week I've got examples, sometimes every day. Today was the banks. Oh, man. Yeah, I know. I'll tell you, John knew there was a problem when he awakened to me screaming. And yes, that was me in customer service. And of course, nothing was resolved. So you go to the bank and you're going to close your account. I'm sorry, there's nobody here who can close your account. There's four tellers here. We're not empowered to close your account. See, you have to make an appointment to close your account. Well, and bottom line is I got through that and managed to, in fact, do that. And while I was at it, I figured, well, there's another one I've been meaning to close as well, because, you know, interest rates have been changing a lot, and there's plenty of reasons you'd want to seek another bank anyway. And so I go to the other one, and there again, I'm sorry, nobody's here who can close your account. I said, wait a minute, I can walk in and give you money, but you can't give me my money back. That's right. And so after talking to them for a good 10 minutes, and I'll spare you the details, they said, well, you might be able to go to our branch downtown, and this is Globe, and there might be somebody who can help. Maybe, you think? And so I said, you do realize when I first came into this bank, it wasn't to take my money out. It was actually to give you more because of the CD special you have. But there's nobody here who can do that. Yeah. There was somebody there, but he was walking out just as we were walking in. And he was aware of this, but felt that wherever he was going was more important. So I decided, I'll just take my money out. So get to the downtown branch. And they say to me, I said, I'll just take it in a cashier's check. And they say, well, there's a $10 charge for that. I said, wait a minute. I've got an exit fee from this bank. I said it loudly. And that caused heads to turn. And ultimately, they determined, no, I didn't. I just had to go through 17 small steps in order to do this. So got my money and decided, well, I'll just open it in another account. Now, I get in, and I'm very well aware and know your customer and know all the things they need to know. But I'll tell you, you'd have an easier time in front of a firing squad than open an account at this third location, which, by the way, had very high interest rates. And I know why. It's the only reason anyone would ever bank with them. And so it was that I submit myself to most of the problems until he gets, and I need your email address. I said, what for? We need it for our records. The government needs it. I said, no, they don't. And you know, I'm like, don't even start with me there. I said, that is not part of know your customer. Well, if you want to open an account, we need it. I said, well, I'm not doing online banking. And bottom line is I didn't open the account. So tomorrow we will start over. But what I've discovered in most of these cases is they have woe too few people. And the few people who are there for the most part are not empowered to do anything except take your money. And by the way, the people in front of me were in much more dire strait than I was, because they were dependent upon this money. In my case, it wouldn't ruin my day either way. I'd get it eventually. But these were people who I think their next meal was dependent on this, and they're not able to get their money. And so I couldn't believe it. And, you know, I thought, this is it. This is the state of customer service in America. And when I hung up the phone from the 1-800 moron, I was shaking. And the first thing I thought of was, I understand the news reports. I understand perfectly what's going on when you hear about people behaving badly. Everyone is on their last nerve. Now, by the way, that doesn't explain the Nigerian man who was arrested for impregnating the whole family. Personally, I didn't realize there was a law about that. None of them are children. But that was one of James' many emails the last time we heard from him. So we can talk about that. I do have some slime from the checkout line. That's right. The tabloids are here. But whatever's on your mind, as I say, I'll make sure it's on mine. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, and we'll get to Stacy in Algonquin in moments, but plenty of room for you right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Revlons. That's R-E-V-L-O-N-S, if you've got it in your collection. 1962 on Gar Pax, meaning Gary S. Paxton produced it. And it was Stephanie in Madison who wanted to hear that. Usually, when it comes to the Revlons, they had something a couple of years later that I usually play. But Boy Trouble, it was a flip side of Give Me One More Chance, is a swell record. Usually I play after last night on reprise. But yeah, glad that Stephanie suggested Boy Trouble. All right, yeah, I'll tell you, Gary S. Paxton was trouble. Man, oh man, some night maybe we'll discuss his trajectory. The best part, of course, I've got to cut to the chase and say, was his affair with Tammy Faye Baker. And, of course, he wrote the music for the PTL Club. And every now and then, Jim would throw a snit fit and change the music. So, yeah, that was a history there. But in Nashville, a guy came up to me once, I really would like you to interview Gary Paxton, but I don't want you to bring up any of that PTL stuff. And I just looked right at him. I said, you know, I probably wouldn't have thought of it, but now that you mention it, you know that I can't resist. And so, of course, needless to say, that didn't take place. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888-RALEIGH. And I think I have once again lost the magic twanger. Oh, no, this is terrible. See, I'm ready to take calls, Stephanie and John, everybody else, and I've I'm up to no good sitting here. Well, let's see. Here we go. This will do. All right, so let's plunk that magic twanger. Stacy in Algonquin, welcome to WGN Radio.
Raleigh?
Yes, Stacy, what's up?
Oh, can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine.
Well, I thought this is something good.
Good.
I had a dream about Raldo last night.
Excellent. Tell me about it.
Well, I think it was wearing like a white thing. But he looked just like when we first met.
Uh-huh.
And then I guess, well, I hope I look good, too. I probably did. And then he was smiling.
Uh-huh.
And then he started to run away.
Okay.
So then I was yelling, Raldo, Raldo, come back. And he came back, and he was by me, and he smiled at me.
Uh-huh.
So I'm thinking, well, this has to be good.
It is good. It is good. Marianne talks about this often. That tells you that he's made it to the other side, and he is well and happy.
And
you will see him when you get there, but hopefully not too soon. But of course. No. On the other side, you know, there is no time. It's one of the hardest concepts to grasp is that everything happens simultaneously. Linear time is a construct of those of us here on Earth. And it's very hard for us to grasp about no future and no past. But in the blink of an eye for him, he'll be with you.
But you know what I heard also?
What?
From another psychic, I forgot her name.
Yeah.
She said that when we cross over,
yes.
Everybody is 30.
Well, they're actually whatever age they were in their prime. That's true. Because remember, when you cross over, you don't have a body naturally. You're pure energy. So you construct the body for others to see you, you know, like people who are earthbound, like yourself in the dream. And you mm-hmm. can construct anything you want. And they say that most people are in their 30s. But if the peak of you was in your 20s or the peak of you was in your 40s, then that's what you'll be. It was your prime peak while you were inhabiting the body you're in on Earth.
Well, that sounds good. That sounds good. So I said, oh, I've got to tell Raleigh.
Yeah. No, this is good.
I thought it was really good. It made me feel good.
Yeah, no.
You know, it made me feel like, you know, he's saying, okay, everything is okay. Everything's going to be
yeah.
okay.
Yeah, absolutely. He's there. And I'm sure he's there more often than you know. And, you know, you can talk to him either silently or aloud, and he'll hear it.
I do.
Good.
Sometimes, you know, I have his urn on top of the china cabinet.
Uh-huh.
And I always talk to him. And then sometimes the radio in the kitchen, it just will go on at all times. And I said, thank you, Raldo.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I know about the customers, you know, when I was in customer service, every time somebody got, they said, oh, is this a live person? They were so glad to talk to me because I know what you mean about the customer service and all that.
Yeah.
Or every time I call them, you know, pay a bill, it's always one of those robots talking. Oh, my God.
Press one for this. Press two for this. Press three to be ignored. Yes, absolutely.
Right. Even when I'm calling Walgreens for my prescription.
Oh, yeah. Just go ahead and enter that number.
I know. And then if you want something else, help me with something else.
Yeah.
Oh, do you want to hang up? Oh, God, it's terrible.
Yeah, well, I usually tell them what I want to do with them, and God, I hope they don't keep the tapes. So,
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
But I thought I have to call and tell Raleigh. Do you know when Marianne or the other ladies?
You know, no, and I really need to get in touch with Marianne. I know she moved, and both of us have been just missing each other. She leaves me phone messages. I leave her phone messages. And as far as Julie Ryan, I need to send her an email. I'm long overdue on that. It's, you know, it's just on the infamous to-do list and doesn't seem to get done. But since you've asked again, I promise I will make it more of a priority. Yeah, right after I hold up some banks tomorrow.
And I did my abundance check and everything, but I said, I've got to call Raleigh. I've got to tell her about my dream.
Good. Good.
And I'm just,
it's all good news. Yeah, I did the abundance check.
What? I got my new compression socks.
And they're working out well?
Yeah, and I got them in the roll. Mm-hmm. Karen, my helper, she has an Amazon account.
Okay.
So I gave her the $17, and she ordered, and I got them the next day.
Good. Good.
So you'd be proud of me.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
I took out the roll, and then I measured them, and then I cut them, and I did very, very well.
Well, good. Excellent. And they're fairly comfortable?
Yeah, they're good. I'm getting used to everything. I like to wear them.
Okay, good. Good. So all's good. A fine report.
Oh, can I just have, when you have time, just my Alan Jackson?
I played one the other night. Didn't you hear it? Did you miss it? And I'll play you another one, but I did play you one the other night that you asked for, and let me see what I played. It wasn't one of his bigger hits, but it was definitely Alan Jackson, and I talked a little about it. Now let me see where it is here. Yes, I still like Baloney.
Oh. Maybe I fell asleep.
I played that Thursday at 10:30.
Oh, maybe I missed it.
Yeah, still like Baloney. All right, but we'll get you another one.
Thank you, Raleigh.
All right, thanks for calling. Appreciate
it. I'll talk to you again this week.
All right, good deal. All right.
Thank you.
Now, you'd think that I would know what these records sound like, well, especially since one of the stations I own is the number one station in the county, and it plays a country blend of music, and it probably has like 30 Alan Jackson records on. I don't know one of them. Not a one of them. So when I saw that title, I still like Baloney. I'll take that file. And apparently the critics panned it, but it was a mid-charter for him. So we'll find something else that I've never heard and learn together about that. And then we will also play more of your requests. I know I promised Linda in Richmond Park that we'd have Africa by Toto. There was another one, too. In fact, Carol was kind enough to, as she is all the time, do show prep. But I know there was something else, too. And I'll have to try and remember what that is. And we'll also get the other requests you have. And, of course, for this day in history, since it is June 20th, maybe we'll play something or other that ties into artists behaving not badly, very well on June 20th historically. So all that and more in John and Covington coming up, but right now I'm going to find out what's going on in the world at large right there on WGN Radio News on WGN Radio. WGN. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That was, of course, with the Pointer Sisters, and that was Linda from Richmond's Park. Other request, she called last night on Juneteenth saying, yeah, play some things for Juneteenth, including I'm So Excited. The Pointer Sisters, not one of their bigger hits, actually. I think probably did better as an oldie, actually. Got to number 46 in 1982 on the R&B charts and did better on the pop charts, actually. Hit number 30 on the Planet label. So, 888-876-5593 takes us to John in Covington, Kentucky. What's up tonight, John?
Hey, Raleigh. Actually, this is going to sound really weird, and I'm weird anyway, but here we go. my favorite comedian of all time is Jack Benny, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I listen to station while on satellite radio, uh-huh. old-time radio.
Sure.
And from time to time, the host of that station, I've only heard one guy, so uh-huh. the host of that station, he will mention that Jack Benny is from Waukegan, Illinois.
Well, he grew up there. He was born in Chicago.
Okay. Uh-huh. So, from time to time, he will say, believe it or not, Jack Benny has a middle school named after him in Waukegan, Illinois. Hmm. And he said, it's not, you know, their mascot name is not the Tigers, not the Lions, not the Bears. And if anybody says, oh my, I'll punch him. Hmm. No, anyway, but their mascot name is none of those things. Their mascot name, since Jack Benny always claimed to be 39.
Right.
It's the Jack Benny 39ers is their mascot name. And all I was wanting was, can somebody from that city confirm or deny that?
Well, Jack Benny Middle School is there. And you actually can look online and see all about it, because all these schools, in fact, it says it's got a picture of them in the hallway there, of course. And, that's the deal. So it is the 39ers, as far as I know.
That's very clever, yeah.
Yeah, it is. I'm looking right now at their little logo, JB, 39ers. Yeah, that is it for a middle school, and that's true. Well, it's interesting, when I heard there was a school named after him, I thought, oh no, it's going to be the Benjamin, trying to think of what his last name was, Kobelski or whatever.
Oh yes, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but absolutely, he went to school in Waukegan. It's true. And everybody I know who worked with him, and I never did I on any level, but I knew people who did work on his staff over the years, everyone liked this guy.
Oh, I can believe that. Yeah. He was anything but stingy.
Well, you're so right. He was the opposite.
He had a very good, what made him so funny is he had a knack of laughing at him, making himself look bad or whatever.
Well, yeah. He was one of the vaudeville greats. He really was. And of course, that signature, well, was the,
with a hand on
yes,
the cheek.
Yes, and, yeah. Oh, yes. Thank God there's no TV, but that's exactly what I did when I said it. Yes, well. That's right. And so, his dad owned a saloon in Waukegan, and had emigrated to the U.S. from Poland, and his mother was from Lithuania. And so, like a lot of young kids, he was studying the violin at age six.
You know what? He was very good violinist.
Well, yeah. No, his parents were rooting for him to become a professional violinist. You know, that was a goal, obviously. And his music teacher was the father of football player Otto Graham Sr. And, he was playing in dance bands and all that kind of stuff. But, he was older, obviously, born in 1894, so vaudeville was perfect for him.
And, yeah, perfect timing. Yes,
yes,
you're right.
Yes, and it was a damn good thing, too, because I understand that after school he went to, like, a business school or some business degree. He did not at all, just absolutely flushed out of that quickly. And then was very close with the Marx Brothers. And so.
Oh, that's funny you say that, because it's on the radio show. And even on the TV show, the black and white TV shows, it'll say Hilliard Marx.
Right.
Come to find out, I do know this, his wife, Mary Livingston,
right.
She is cousins with the Marx Brothers.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And he was very close to Zeppo in particular. Yeah, Mary Livingston was actually like Sadia Markowitz.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And so she was known as Sadie Marks, and the way their family spelled it was M-A-R-K-S, as opposed to her cousins that spelled it M-A-R-X, but it was Markowitz
right.
originally. Yeah, no, that's that's all true. But
okay,
yeah.
One more thing before I go, since we're on the topic of Chicago,
yeah.
So to speak. My uncle, I have an uncle, he's retired now in Fort Myers, Florida, but he's a priest.
Okay.
The last 5 years of his, before he semi-retired, he's
right.
semi-retired now,
okay.
his last pastor job was Old St. Mary's in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And when we would go to Arlington Park, we would stay with him.
Oh, yeah.
And he yeah. took like this vow, his order is the Paulist.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a really interesting parish because it's right there on South Michigan, not far from world famous Record Row.
Right.
So yeah.
He likes the races. So we would go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but he wouldn't go with us on Saturday or Sunday because he had priestly duties.
Right, right.
But he would go on Thursday, Friday.
Sure.
Yeah. And it's like he took this vow of poverty, and it's yeah. like, well, we're staying with him. And it's like, vow of poverty, my butt. Here's $100 to bet with.
You yeah, know? Well, yeah.
And we'd laugh and have a good time.
Absolutely.
Anyway, but if anybody remembers him, Father Paul is in Fort Myers, Florida. He's semi-retired.
Oh, that's great.
He's 79 years old. Yeah, he's okay. quite a guy. He's
well,
quite a guy.
That is terrific. Glad to hear it. And that's Chicago's oldest parish. So, yeah,
yeah. Uncle Paul told me it became a church or founded in 1836.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. So
he also told me I'm sorry to talk over you.
Talk over me.
he also told me that when that parish was founded in 1836. The population of Chicago was like 540 people.
Oh, sure, sure. Well, yeah, it's amazing how short our history really is. Things that we think have been here forever, the Europeans would laugh at us. Everything's relatively new comparatively here, of course.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, great.
Well, thank you so much.
Good deal. Well, thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. I want to mention the CC Radio 3. Yeah, it's one of my faves. Actually, John got it. I've got a CC radio by my bedside, too, but he took the CC Radio 3 because of the Bluetooth speaker capability. It's really the almost everything radio with the addition of Bluetooth. So now you've got anything you want. You know, why listen on your smartphone or whatever? You listen through the CC Radio 3, and it sounds great. But why I love it, of course, has nothing to do with any of that. It's the fact that Bob Crane should be knighted for his desire to have every radio he develops have just the finest tuning out there, because like many of us radio lovers, he was just disgusted with AM and FM and what manufacturers were doing to it, and he vowed he'd do better, and he has with just about everything, and the CC Radio 3 is no exception. You know, if you listen to voice content, the CC Radio 3 is arguably worth the price alone, because audio quality is so good, and separate bass and treble controls, and you can get your perfect pitch and whatever you want, but for me, it's the reception. Long-range AM and FM. And the easiest thing to do is take a CC radio, like the CC Radio 3, put it next to your standard-issue radio made recently, and man, it will just leave it in the dust, the things that you will pick up. But it's more than that. Like I say, it's got the Bluetooth speaker, so you can use it as a great way to hear podcasts that are going to sound a lot better than any smartphone ever developed. But in addition to that, and of course, AM and FM and a clock and a little light, which is nice, a dial light, and all that, but it also has the NOAA weather band and the 2-meter ham band. And granted, you might not get day to day all that much on 2 meter ham that you're interested in, though you may. But when that really comes to the fore is in an emergency, because very often the first responders are the hams and people who are there first, and you'll hear information before you're even getting an alert on it. So this week only, if you buy the CC Radio 3, you get $20 off. Not bad. $20 off on the CC Radio 3. Now you can do it by phone because they've got great customer service. Unlike most people anymore, they really 24 hours a day, someone at the Sea Crane Company will answer and talk to you. And that's 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. But the best thing to do is go online, because not only great products, but great information too. So if you're a radio lover, you'll find something you want to know about that maybe you don't. Maybe it's antennas and reception and all that. Or maybe it's just taking a look at that CC Radio 3. Really nice. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Hoovering by my suitcase, trying to find a warm place to spend the night. Heavy rain falling, seems I hear your voice calling, it's alright. A rainy night in Georgia, a rainy night in Georgia, it seems like it's raining all over the world. I feel like it's raining all over the world. Neon signs are flashing, taxi cabs and buses passing through the night. A distant moaning of a train seems to play a sad refrain to the night. A rainy night in Georgia, such a rainy night in Georgia, Lord, I believe it's raining all over the world.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's Brooke Benton, like Rainy Night in Georgia, who did the hit. Of course, Tony Joe White wrote it. We played that version last week. And I think, well, of course, he wrote it, so we'd know. He's the only guy who sings it who can say hovering. I mean, everybody else has another way to pronounce hovering. Listen to the, you'll hear, including, unfortunately, Brooke Benton. Yes, 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 it's hovering, Brooke. Yeah, all right. So Brooke was the second to record it, and, of course, the big hit in December of 1969. But 161 artists have recorded that song, and a lot of them in 1970, because, you know, that was sort of the thing when an artist would make an album. Half the time he'd, you know, cover a lot of stuff that was out there. But it was certainly an odd group of people doing Rainy Night in Georgia, from Freddie North to Nat Stuckey to B.J. Thomas to Johnny Rivers and Chuck Jackson and Eddie Floyd to Ray Charles. Yeah, Hank Williams Jr. So yeah, everybody got in on the hovering action, even if they couldn't pronounce it. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh, and I've got 5 minutes left this half hour, and I bet you Ruth is going to take up every one of them. So go for it, Ruth. Welcome back to WGN.
Hi, Raleigh. I hope you're doing really well and good, and you're back into your old stomping grounds. You know, the old St. Mary's Church withstood the Chicago fire.
Yeah.
And I used to take Navy guys from Great Lakes to the services at old St. Mary's because of the Paulist Choir.
Mm-hmm.
So interestingly enough, a teenager, you know, kind of unusual, taking the fellows to services at old St. Mary's, but the movie with the song Bells of St. Mary, which I requested for you, and I did not ever hear it, and there's a doo-wop version, and then the very powerful.
The Bells of St. Mary's? I did play the Bells of St. Mary's. I did.
I didn't hear it.
Yeah, I'll play it again. Now, by the way, you mentioned that it survived the fire, and while that's technically true if you're talking about the walls, the church had a lot of damage from that fire. They had a lot of rebuilding.
Well, the pastor was Father O'Malley at one time, and so he had a sister who was a nun. So that's how the story started for the movie, The Bells of St. Mary. So there actually was a real Father O'Malley. And I wanted to ask you about this suggestion. Since every once in a while you have someone who calls in and sings, like Johnny, he writes lyrics and songs, which are really incredible, you know, how much talent he has voice-wise, and then writing the parodies and different types of things involving the listeners. Well, I thought to myself, an interesting thing would be for anyone to state why they had a particular story involving a song. So when the Where the Boys Are was mentioned, and I learned some interesting things about that, Neil Sedaka. But I remember the airlift during the Democratic Convention that I'd done at O'Hara Airport all night long from the Red Cross. And there was a long line in my line and a short line in the Red Cross person next to me. And she announced to everyone that they could now come into her line.
Okay.
And I turned over my shoulder and I looked at someone, and I wanted to see who left my line and went to the other girl's side. Well, that night, I felt there was somebody significantly important to me, and I didn't know who it was. But St. Mary is a very powerful saint for soulmates, and I do know a great deal about soulmates. And I thought that Connie Francis also had a soulmate, who I'm not going to name who it was. It wasn't Mario Lanza, though.
No,
although
that would have been really nice. Yeah, it's Bobby Darin, but I'm not sure that Bobby felt the same way.
The interesting thing was what stories people have relating to something, and there was the song that recalled a memory in particular, you know. And so there must be some really interesting stories from listeners, like you had said, how you had met in Philadelphia. And so there should have been a song for you for that particular location when you had met your significant other. So, but other people do have something that relates to songs.
Sure, absolutely.
Know,
absolutely, the theme of our life. Now, I'm going to play the Bells of St. Mary for you right after the news, and I'll play the Lee Andrews and the Hearts version.
Okay, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you. Thanks, Ruth. All right. So, yeah, I think music is really the backdrop of our lives. Strangest thing today, actually, it wasn't music, but one of the things I like to do is, you know, drive signals, see how, you know, how far a signal's reaching and how it's coming in and all those geeky things. And I have discovered this frequency where there's carrier current on. In other words, you know that a transmitter's on because there's dead silence, but there's absolutely no audio. And this is a huge swath of area from, you know, ostensibly north of Superior, Arizona, through parts of Phoenix, where it's just, you know, clean as a bell, because clearly there's RF, but no audio. So if you're in the Phoenix area listening, could you please tell me what the hell's really going on with 88.3? Yeah, because I don't know. And that's been our mystery here. But in the meantime, I'll take your mysteries next hour, whatever's on your mind. I'll make sure it's on mine right here. And the Bells of St. Mary will be coming up as we prattle on and continue for the next 2 hours on WGN Radio.
The Bell. Young love, the true love. the sea. So my beloved, when relief of Molly, the love bells shall ring, I'll ring out for you and me.
The bells of Mary, dear bells of Mary, I hear them.
WGLA, I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, that's a early Lee Anders and the Hearts. Yeah, a lot would come later. But that was 1954 and on the Rainbow label. Rainbow was a little label in New York that shared space with a deli. I'm not making that up. But what possessed him to record The Bells of St. Mary? I don't know. Was written in 1919 by a guy from Britain and a guy from Australia. The guy from Britain actually wrote other things. The guy from Australia, I guess, just got lucky. But the guy from Britain, you know, wrote other things like Limehouse Blues, which is not exactly what you'd think when you say The Bells of St. Mary's. But that's been recorded by over 100 people, yeah, whether we wanted it to be or not. And the first one was in 1990, as I say, and then about three people came along in 1920, and then it kind of was dormant till the late 30s when a couple people picked it up, and then the 40s. Bing Crosby actually did it in 45, and you had other people do it. But then in 54, there's old Lee Anders and the Hearts, and a few months later, I don't know what possessed them either, but the Drifters, Clyde McFadder. Yeah, so there's that version as well, which is what I played last time. Ruth wanted to hear it when she didn't hear it, but maybe you did. In any event, Sam Cooke recorded it, yeah, with Bumps Blackwell and his orchestra, yeah. And Sammy Kay, as in Swing and Sway With, Connie Francis, Gordon McRae, Jane Morgan. But, okay, Phil Spector strikes again. Bobby Sox and the Blue Jeans recorded it in 1963, and the Tokens recorded it in 1965, and Johnny Adams in 1975, and Aaron Neville in the 90s. And what, I've left most of them out, believe me. What possessed these people? Maybe there's something in this song that I guess just doesn't speak directly to me. But every time I hear it, it's sort of like, what are you thinking? The other thing is, exactly what is it? On the original label, it says Bells of St. Mary's. Then, of course, the versions that came later, most of them said The Bells of St. Mary's, until we got to Lee Anders and the Heart, who decided there was no possession involved, so it was Bells of St. Mary. Not Mary. So, but for most recordings, it was The Bells of St. Mary's. Though it varies, Johnny Adams, The Bells of St. Mary. So there you have it. 888-876-5593. Oh, Chet Atkins and his galloping guitar. Yep, did it in 53. Roger Williams on the piano, 57. Right, Del Wood, always a good time. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. So John earlier had asked me, is the first day of summer tomorrow? I said, well, it depends on the year. You know, it's, you know, much like astrology. It comes at certain moments in time, and in this case, the summer solstice. And that is the longest day of the year, which occurs tomorrow this year, June 21st. And the peak of it in Central Time is 9:57 a.m. So just before 10 a.m., you'll have the summer solstice. And that does denote the longest day of the year, which is always fun. Start getting shorter every day thereafter. And depending on where you are, it's not necessarily notably different, but if you're in Alaska, it's very different. So, of course, Wednesday is Daylight Appreciation Day, which actually is an ancient practice, believe it or not. And, of course, then we have the winter solstice, which used to be a time for celebration, so pagan. So much so that the Catholic Church had to get in on the action and officially changed Jesus' birthday to have Christmas, of course, which is a competition for the winter solstice. Yeah, as far as that. goes. But the summer solstice, I don't know what all they've done to it other than it's the longest day of the year, or it will seem that way. Yeah, right. Maybe it won't be. It'll just feel like that. But no, more daylight than any other time, and I think that's absolutely welcome. So 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, Johnny D is in Ohio. What's happening tonight, Johnny D?
Hello, Raleigh. Well, you already know that it's an honor and a pleasure.
Yes, uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, somebody of your high stature.
Yeah, right. Yeah. High stature. Yeah, I went to the doctor last week. My high stature lost 2 inches.
What the heck? You're shrinking.
I'm shrinking 2 inches, 2 whole inches. Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
We're all
my mother.
Yeah, everybody.
My mother told me that she got older, you know.
Yeah. Well, we all do. We compress.
Lost height.
We all do. We compress. That's right. Our little vertebrae just get closer together. That's true for all of us. I'm just doing it at a faster rate than most.
I had a disagreement with a couple of nurses at different doctor's offices, okay?
Uh-oh. They have syringes. Dangerous.
Yeah, I know. But where was it at that I went? Oh, yeah. When I was going for my shoulder, you know, which is, you got to have that woman on again that does surgery telepathically.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. That is Julie Ryan.
Yeah, because, you know, it was okay after she did some telepathic surgery on my shoulder. Excuse me. It was okay for a while.
Good.
But now it's starting to hurt me again.
Ah.
Starting to hurt me.
Uh-huh.
So I want her to, you know, get back on in and, you know, fix me up for another 6 months.
A tune-up, yes, absolutely. I'll write to her, I promise.
Anyhow, when I went to this doctor, that orthopedic surgeon guy, they would make me, you know, they'd weigh me and they'd, you know, take my height.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
And at their office, I was 5'9", which is what I've always been for quite a while,
okay.
Right?
All right.
Then I go to my family doctor, to my, what do you call it? What would you call it?
Your GP, your GP.
Yeah, general practitioner,
yes,
whatever.
That's right.
So I go to his office, and the girl there, and this girl, she's a little short girl, right? Mm. And she says, 5'8". So what are you talking about? I've been 5'9 since I was, you know, 17 years old. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she always says 5'8". I said, something's wrong with your thing, man. You know, something's wrong with your measuring stick there.
Yeah.
Because at the other doctor's office, I'm 5'9". You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know what the heck they're doing. But here's the deal. So I'm listening to you talking. Mm. And then you were told, who was it? And that Funicello that went with Bobby Dern, who was it?
No. Connie Francis.
Connie Francis, okay.
Yes.
I knew it was somebody like that.
Yeah. No, not Annette.
But anyhow, huh?
Not Annette, that's for sure.
Well, I don't know. All I know is I was a kid, but that's what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
Now, when you said Bobby Dern, I remember my dad, you know, my dad, I told you he used to like to sing songs, and I listened to him, I remember, you know.
Uh-huh.
So one of the songs he used to sing was, Somewhere Beyond the Sea.
Yes.
Remember that?
Absolutely.
So I like to hear
Waiting for
Beyond
me.
The Sea.
Okay. All right.
And what the other one that he did that my dad used to, oh, yeah. Well, the shark. With this deep, there it is.
Yeah, of course, yes. Be here all week. Try the veal. Yep.
What the heck song is that?
Mac the Knife.
Jack the Knife.
Mac the Knife. Mac. Huh? Mac the Knife.
Mac the Knife.
Yes.
Mac the Knife.
Yes.
And he said, "Well, that's a man's stand for the way, babe." Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would like to hear Mac the Knife and Beyond the Sea.
Uh-huh.
All right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right.
Now listen to this. So I'm listening to your conversations that you have, and then all these thoughts go through my mind, you know. Oh, and by the way, I think that Ruth woman, I don't know if she was referring to me, but
yes,
I don't know any other Johnnies that make songs.
You're the one.
Okay. I'm the one. I know. But anyhow, I'd like to say thank you to her because she gave me a couple of nice compliments. I appreciate that.
Yes, absolutely.
Most people don't compliment me. You know, most people don't like me.
I can't imagine why. No.
I don't know. They think I'm a wise guy or something. I don't know why.
No.
You know, I was at work one time. Listen to this, Ron. I was at work when I was working. And there was an opening for a position on the, you know, committee for a union position, you know?
Uh-huh.
For a committee man, they used to call it.
Yes.
So then I told my friend Bob, he's sick now. He had throat cancer or something. I don't know.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
But it was funny because he was a great guy. He was a big guy.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I told him, I said, Bob, I said, you know, I says, I'm going to run for that open committee man job, you know. And he says, John, he says, you can't win. I said, what do you mean I can't win? He goes, nobody likes you.
I said, oh, no.
What are you talking about? So he says, no. So he said, he went around, because I had told him this a couple of times, so he went around and was asking the people in the vicinity there, you know, the assembly line, you know.
Yeah, uh-huh.
What do you think of... this guy Dorsey, you know, was one of the guys we hung with. And they said, well, I like Dorsey. He's a nice guy. He was an artist. He was very good. As a matter of fact, he was the artist for the Talladega.
Yeah.
He was the artist for, then he died. He died of cancer. Mm-hmm. And so anyhow, Bob would go around. He said, well, what do you think of John down there? John, I don't like that guy. I don't like him. He thinks he's, you know, for some reason, I don't know why, you know?
Well,
so he says, I went around and asked a bunch of people what they thought of Dorsey, what they thought of you. And he says, everybody said, I don't like him. I don't know why. I said, you know why? I said, because I'm cooler than them, and they're jealous of me. That's what I told him. You know?
Well, there you are. That's so, right. That's your story,
that's
and you're
happened.
Sticking with it. That's right.
That's right. That's why I couldn't have ran, because nobody voted for me, because they thought I was a wise guy. Somehow. I don't know what. They were jealous.
I think I'm going to play Beyond the Sea by the Revere's for you, the doo-wop version on Jubilee.
I don't want to hear that. I don't care.
Bobby, that's what you're going to hear. That's what you're going to hear. You'll get Bobby Darin later, but you're going to get the Revere's first.
All right. Have a good night. Have a nice show. Bye-bye.
Thanks. 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. Well, Diane's got Sea Crane questions. I got answers. Sam McGurney has requests. And Gary in Austin wants to talk radio. All right. Well, there's still room for you at WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James Wall. There it is, Beyond the Sea on Jubilee 1963. Yes, exemplar number one in White Boys Shouldn't Even Try doo-wop. Yeah, they were five guys from Jersey City, actually. Paul Horowitz and Jimmy Spinelli and Jerry Wilczek and Steve Engelson and Joe Aquino. And, yeah, I don't know what happened to any of them, but but they had a cover shot for that Jubilee 45 taken by Bruno of Hollywood. So, yeah, I think that's a medley of their almost hit. All right, so we will get the Bobby Darin version on at some point, but I couldn't resist it. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Diane is in Chicago. What's up, Diane?
Hi, Raleigh. Thanks for taking my call. I just have a question on that. First of all, to preface that, somebody called one time about that sea crane, and he was asking you about not getting some kind of reception somewhere. So that's my concern on this. And relates to what I'm saying. I have an old, you know, remember like General Electric beach radio? Mm-hmm. And it has a dial on it, you know, not, I mean, it has a clock on it, the clock's broken, mm-hmm. and then I, but it still works, and you can put a battery in or plug it in. Then I bought this Bose radio on Craigslist, mm-hmm. and I've called Bose and asked why I don't get FM on there. But the GE radio, I do get FM. So I would be wondering about Sea Crane. I would be interested in a quality kind of radio that gets everything. If it were possible to get something, I don't have, you okay. know, I don't have computer and things like
yeah,
that. And
you don't need a computer. Okay. Here is the deal. If it can be gotten, the Sea Crane radio will get it. But that doesn't mean it can be gotten. There's a lot of things that will cause interference. Now, depending on where you're living, the building in which you're living can be working against you as well. When you're talking about AM, you've got all sorts of issues with, you know, with interference from all sorts of RF stuff. You know, and then also depending on where you're living, just by virtue of a number of things, you may have trouble with some stations, not with others. So what I say about the Sea Crane Company is if you put it next to any other radio that's made today, this is going to outshine it. But it's not going to do the impossible. So if you're not hearing radio for a reason that no radio will pick it up, well, this won't either. But if it's just a case that you need a better radio than you've got, well, this probably will do it. Now, the other thing, of course, is you can return it. You know, you can always get one and say, hey, it's going back. But I would absolutely talk with them about what would be best for you. If you can't if you can't go online and look at their catalog, then the best thing to do is, you know, call them. And because the radios have a number of features, and some of them will be important to you, and others you won't care at all. So
right. I can get online. I go to the library all the time,
well,
and
then,
I have, you
then,
know, Yahoo and
okay.
all of that.
Well, then great.
Yeah, I will look it up. And then I want you to, but the GE radio, that oldie that I didn't throw away, which is good, it gets this FM station, and then the Bose radio doesn't go that far. Or something.
Well, you know, again, Bose, I never looked at Bose for reception. I think that was one of the things that, you know, that also Bob Crane said, you know, we can do better reception than that. But yeah, I remember that that portable radio, they had the girl in the two-piece bathing suit, and it came in three different colors of Bakelite. It was absolutely out there. Yes, I remember.
Yeah, it's not a Bakelite, but it's just a regular little radio.
Yeah.
That, you know, remember Radio Shack?
Absolutely.
You could get a radio that plugged in and alternated with a battery. You can't get this anymore.
Oh yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Well,
that's
what I'm asking.
Okay,
yes.
Go to ccradio.com. Take a look at them.
Okay.
You absolutely can.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
All right. So good
Bye-bye.
Deal. We'll get to Gerald, first time caller. We got Gary. We got Sam. We got room for you. But right now we got time for the news on WGN Radio.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sands and watches the ships that go sailing. Somewhere beyond the sea, she's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms I'd go sailing. It's far and the shore. We'll kiss just as before. Happy we'll be beyond the sea. And never again I'll go sailing.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, that followed Mac the Knife, actually. Got to number 6 on the pop charts in 1960 on ATCO. So that, in fact, was the hit. So there you have it. That was another one that half the world did. Well, as proved by the Revere's earlier, what would you expect? All right, but Gerald's a first-time caller, so welcome to WGN Radio.
Ah, thank you. How are you doing, Raleigh?
All right, how about your bad self?
Pretty good. Just right. Got off work and heading home listening to you guys.
Good deal. So what's up? Tell me.
Nothing. I just called in just to say that I like you guys' show, and I was telling the answer who picked up my call that I don't know if you guys play this kind of music, but my mom's favorite song was Glowworm from the Ink Spots.
Oh, okay. I can. You know, I can play anything I want. So Glowworm, the Ink Spots. So I'll do that for you, sure. I've got it.
Cool. Yeah, that was Grandma's favorite song, and she had the LP, yeah. And so Mom inherited it, and she played it all the time, and that's how I got to like it.
Yeah, it kind of grows on you after a while. So, sure, I'll be happy to. All right. Well,
that's all I had. I just wanted to say you had a great show and listen to you every night on the way home.
Well, thanks for taking me with you. I love to ride, and I hope you call again.
Thank you.
I will. Good deal. So, yeah, that goes back, and we will absolutely do that for Gerald. All right, so 888-876-5593. And let's see. Gary from Austin said wants to talk radio, I want to do that, but it's interesting because Johnny heard that. And last time when they talked together, Gary had mentioned a lot of other Houston questions. So Johnny called in and said, I'm here to answer them. So the dynamic duo will be appearing in moments right here. But I think we have a couple requests here. So Sam and Gurney, what is it you want to hear?
Hey, Raleigh, thanks so much for taking my call. Sure. My sister Barbara Ann turned 69 today. She's fighting a courageous battle with cancer. I'm so proud of her. I love her so much.
Yeah.
And she's been a wonderful sister to me all my life. And I wanted to see if you could either play Barbara Ann or Happy Birthday for her. And I would leave that up to you. But I adore her. She's just a wonderful sister. And a brother couldn't ask for a better sister. So I just wanted to get that out there and ask you if you play something for her.
Absolutely, we will. I'll try to get them both on for you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. And happy birthday to Barbara.
All right.
So that's bittersweet to be sure, but glad she's still with us. And happy birthday, Barbara. Annette in Chicago, what is your request or question or whatever? Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. Long time listener. And you just previously talked to John, and he just blurted out, you're the one. And in the back of my mind, that song was such a pretty song when I was a teenager. And I thought maybe which you might play it if I asked you very nicely to play my request.
Well, sure. Which version?
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, that's another question. I don't know.
Well,
you surprised me.
Maybe the vote. Well, let me ask you, this is an indelicate question, but would this have been around 1965? Would that have been when you heard it?
Easy. Yeah, I'm all 77. Right.
Okay, so it might be. The Vogues did You're the One in 1965.
Such a nice song. Anyway, about 4 months ago, I called in and I asked you to play Hello Walls.
Oh, yes. Farron Young. Hello Walls. I did, didn't
God.
I?
So many beautiful memories there, but I just want to thank you for being always there, and at night when I have insomnia, you're fantastic.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that, and we will get the Vogues You're the One on for you tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Sure thing. Thanks. You
bye
too.
Bye.
All right. So, and I know that because we got four more bumpers we can play, and they're now spoken for. We'll do Glow Worm, and we'll do You're the One, and we'll do Barbara Ann and Happy Birthday Baby, the Toon Weavers. Yeah. All right. So with that in mind, now in fact, I'm going to do this first because I want the dynamic duo to have plenty of time to talk about Houston radio, one of my favorite subjects, coming up on WGN Radio.
Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Lead us less too far, we wonder. Love's sweet voice is calling yonder. Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Hey there, don't get dimmer, dimmer. Light the path below above and lead us on to love. Wire glow for the female of the species. Turn on the AC and the DC. This light
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's my favorite line. Turn on the AC and the DC. Yeah, Mills Brothers actually, not Ink Spots, but that's okay. On Decca, 1952. But I'm pretty sure that's the one Gerald meant because I found plenty, including Spike Jones. But I didn't come across the Ink Spots, although I wouldn't be all that surprised. That's a Johnny Mercer song, as you probably know. But Charlie Drake actually had a version of that. You know, the guy who did My Boomerang Won't Come Back. Yeah, so Hank Thompson had a version of it. So a lot of people did. But I'm pretty sure we were talking Ink Spots there. All right, so now 888-876-5593. We got Gary in Austin. Hello, Gary.
Well, hey, Raleigh. And yeah, Charlie Drake, that's My Boomerang Won't Come Back, one of the worst editing jobs ever.
Yeah, yeah. It was painful, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But you had mentioned plenty of Houston radio questions, so we got Johnny here to answer them.
Okay, well, I had originally called with a couple of other radio comments about, I think, about the 88.3.
Yeah, what do you know about that?
I read somewhere that whoever was on in the day bought whoever owned it at night, and they traded a translator for it.
No, yeah, you're talking about Farm Worker. No, but that's not it. That's not the problem. And I know that story, but that's not it.
Okay.
And
I thought it was like CY bought somebody.
Right. Right, that was a farm worker story, Cesar Chavez Radio, well aware of that, but no. And the translator, of course, was 101.9. So, yeah, but no.
And then a few weeks ago, you were talking about wildfire de-axing, and when I moved to Galveston in 98, there was some sort of fires in northern Mexico, and you could smell the smoke, but I was getting stuff from Florida to, Mexico for about a week solid, 24/7, and then it went up into the TV dial. So that was fun stuff.
Yeah, you betcha. All right, so Houston questions. Anything?
Well, yeah, I was just thinking about when I was living in Dallas and I would hear KRBE and the Trop would come rolling in the summer, and how much I really loved listening to that station. It was just something about their audio just sounded big.
What do you know about that, Johnny?
Oh, well, Gary, what year were you talking about? Were you talking about the KRBE time when we were doing the rock, or that couple of years where we were doing kind of a hot AC, K-Love in Dallas kind of sound?
Yeah,
or K-Ville
like
in Dallas,
rock
I'm sorry.
Say what, Gary?
We had an incredible engineer there. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, we had an incredibly great engineer at KRBE by the name of Mike Crail. And this guy was just an incredible audio person. Plus, all our music was on tape cartridge, as you probably know what that means.
Yeah.
And yep. Everything was DBX'd.
Oh,
that might have had something to do with it. Plus, this engineer by the name of Mike Crail knew a whole lot about audio processing and made that station sound so big and bold. It was incredible. When I remember that period of time when I went back to KRBE, because as you know, I worked there so many times, probably about six different times, six owners or something. But when I opened the mic on there back in 1980, when I went back there the last time, I didn't even recognize myself. It was so big. And I don't know if it was that SM5B microphone or the processing that went with it or all of it put together or what, but that radio station had some incredible audio. If that's what you're,
I'd be picking them up in the middle of the night up into the morning, and so I didn't get to hear the station, you know, during the whole day. But when I could hear it, it just sounded so good, and I'd pump it up, and my neighbors would love it, you know. But you know, and it just sounded so good and big, and it just amazed me that nobody sounded like that now, for sure, on the radio.
It's so interesting what processing can do. And unfortunately, too much of it, well, that's part of what killed AM. You know, too much of a good thing is not necessarily better. But when you got somebody who's really good at processing, like the late Jim Lupus was, stations can sound wonderful.
Well, I remember in the KFMK, KLDE days, I remember this very vividly. One morning, both stations were playing Over and Over Again by Dave Clark.
Okay.
And KFMK's had so much more punch and more width, you know, between the channels. It just sounded so much better. And, of course, the station was so much better, too. But that's, you know, my own personal opinion. But
well, when I went to these stations, Gary, engineers were not real fond of me because I was such a audio processing person, and when I would run into some of these engineers, I mean, there's no real right or wrong to any of this. It's just a difference, but many of these engineers were very purists in terms of their processing, and that's fine if you're processing a classical music station. That's okay. I understand that, but if you're doing hot AC or oldies or top 40 or something, and God help you if you ask and put reverb on that was just like that was Dangerville. Don't even go there. But when I first went to KFMK from KRBE, I was used to so much better technical kind of quality on that station that when I went to KFMK, it was kind of like, ooh, boy, this is rough. I've got to try to convince them to perk this up somehow. And finally, they did. And it did improve a lot, but there was times that I had engineers throwing screwdrivers and tools at me and saying, well, if you want to do it, then go do it yourself.
Right.
Do it yourself, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, except the minute you went to try, they'd throw a complete fit.
No, I didn't go that far. No, I didn't. I tried to be polite and say, no, all I'm asking you to do is please go make this sound good. You're the one with the knowledge. You got the tools to do it. I'm not trying to annoy you, but please understand what I would like for you to do.
Right.
And there was one engineer that was such a purist in there in the later days at KFMK. He was just a total control freak. And I said, look, if you can't do anything on the air, then do this for me. Put the damn processing in my headphones.
Oh, that's funny.
And he did it.
Oh, well, yeah, he could, but yeah, so you were playing to something the listeners weren't even hearing.
and after I asked him to do that, he calmed down and became very nice. Oh, well, fine. I mean, if you want to, you know, live in your own little world, I'll be happy to provide that for you. I said, great.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting, but yeah, I was just thinking about that because I love hearing good processing, and there are a few internet stations I listen to because of that. Actually.
Well, there's some internet stations. When you talk about audio processing, audio quality, those internet radios are wonderful. I've got many of them. But
yeah.
If you'll notice, internet radio stations there, everything from great audio to hum to low level to high level. I mean, it is all over the universe.
Oh, yeah. It depends where they pull it in the audio chain and also what they want to spend in terms of bandwidth.
Well, that's true, too, of course.
Yeah, because a lot of people are streaming really thin because it's cheaper.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've been into this internet radio thing since about, when was it, 2013 or 14 when I got the first one?
Okay.
But they're wonderful. The funny thing is, well, Raleigh, to be honest with you, I listen to your AM station on the internet more than anything else, and I'm always going in there with a pen and paper writing down songs that I don't know. Which is great, you know. I mean, there's titles and artists on there that I'm like, who is this? And I run over there and look at the readout on there and say, oh, okay, and I'm write this down.
Yeah, yeah. No, I have fun with it.
Four or five.
But you know, I have that.
And I got KJ on all of them. So what can I say?
Yeah,
Gary, what kind of internet radios do you have, Gary?
I'm just using my phone, my iPhone.
Okay. Well, I started off with internet radio from Sea Crane back in the, God, I can't remember when it was, and they had that Ethernet port on the back of
it. Yes, I love that.
I'm all wired.
Yes,
and I don't do Wi-Fi. And sadly, they removed that internet port.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that when they made the Wi-Fi radio number 3, that they would have put the port back, which they didn't. So sadly, now the only internet radio out there that does afford the option to go with wired is the Grace.
Right.
Right. Yeah, well, I'm using the phone for accessibility reasons. And,
sure.
It's great. I can the one good advantage of it is if I want to go out somewhere, I can burn some data and listen to somebody.
Do you still do a lot of AM radio listening, or is there just nothing there for you besides a great show like Raleigh and WGN? Is that about it?
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, where I live, it's hard to hear much on AM because of this building. But I haven't listened to an actual FM radio in a long time, for any length of time, and I used to, I mean, I had the radio on every day.
Guys, I hate to say this, but you guys have ended the hour, so call me again soon.
Okay, enjoy talking, and thanks.
All right, thanks, and thanks, Johnny. All right,
you're welcome,
Johnny. Enjoyed it.
We got another hour of this if you want to call back. All right, and we'll talk to James on the south side is calling in, so he's alive, and we'll get to you, too, coming up on WGN Radio.
Happy birthday, baby.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's Happy Birthday for Barbara Ann. Yeah, Sam's sister. And that, of course, is the Toon Weavers. That was a family affair in Boston, originally on the Casa Grande label, and then Checker picked it up, and it was a hit on Checker, too. It got to number 4 on the R&B charts and 5 on the pop charts in 1957. And yeah, they were from Boston, and Margot Sylvia and her husband John Sylvia, and Gilbert Lopez, who was Margot's brother, and Charlotte Davis, who was Margot's cousin. They were the Toon Weavers. Sorry to say, Margot died of a heart attack in 1991. She was only 55 years old, but yeah, that's kind of a medley of their hit, but a good one it was. So 888-876-5593. And that record actually got Bob Dayton fired. Oh, man. At WABC. He played it for the bombing of Hiroshima. Yeah, it didn't work out well. All right, so James is on the South Side, and we were worried, James. It'd been since, like, the 18th. Did you lose the internet or something?
Well, that was part of it, and I kind of like took some time away.
Well, I don't blame you. You send in so many links; it's a wonder you can do it at all.
At one point the phone just simply wasn't like responding. I said, "Oh well, I'll just simply maybe it'll." And what eventually happened was, finally the phone, a couple of times, just simply shut down.
Well, I'll tell you, last thing you sent me was about Quincy Jones being rushed to the hospital, and I was wondering if you were. I understand Quincy is going to be fine, and you're sounding fine, so I guess all's well.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
I admit, when I looked at, I said, oh, well, okay, there was like a bunch of them that just simply stayed to and they said they just kept it. And then at one point, I guess the one time when the thing completely went down, I guess it just wiped out that whole group of them.
Well, I'll tell you what, that other story you sent right before you disappeared into the ether was about the U.S. couple found dead in a Mexican hotel. And what was interesting to me about that is actually the guy had a company, Les Labs, and I used some of their supplements. And, you know, he's Mr. Healthy as far as that goes. And from what I understand, I guess it was his wife, Abby Lutz. I don't know if they're married or not, but Abby Lutz and John Heathcoe. And nothing about it makes you think that they were in any way the type to really be overserved or be completely inebriated. And so originally they said gas inhalation. And then apparently the night before that she died, she had called home because they were in the hospital and she thought she had food poisoning and said, "I'm the sickest I've ever been." So I wonder what's up with that story. Have you heard any follow-ups?
No, and I think part of it was when right just about then was like when it really got bad with this, with some of the just simply the links wouldn't come up and other things would just simply not do anything.
So I think
that was when I said, this is not going too well.
No, it's absolutely not. But interestingly, it was a luxury hotel. I mean, it wasn't, you know, in some seedy part 10 or anything like that. And
that was unusual. There's a lot of stuff you kind of that is happening down there that like kind of makes you wonder. What is all there is that's going on?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's in some ways it's the Wild West, but interestingly enough, we're fairly close to that. I've got some friends who live both stateside and in Mexico, and I talked at length with one of them, and yeah, there's all sorts of problem, but he said, "I'll tell you what, when you read about American tourists being offed or anything, just trust me, they were doing something they shouldn't have been doing." And that's a really interesting take on it. He said, yeah, it's not people who come down to these resorts and mind their own business. There's almost always a story.
Oh, yeah. It's just like the four who came down and one was coming for plastic surgery. Probably the other guys were coming for some cut.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows? Pharmaceuticals.
Right. Well, very, very possibly. Yeah, I mentioned this before. When I lived in San Diego, I used to go down there to get some of the drugs that I took, you know, like pharmaceuticals, obviously, you know, thyroid medication and all that. And the first time I came back and I'm stopped there, and the guy said, well, what were you doing in Mexico, you know, the guard? And I said, I was buying drugs. And he was like, double take, what? And I said, yeah, at the Pharmacia. And I showed him, he says, ma'am, those are not, that's not what you were doing. You were buying pharmaceuticals at the Pharmacia. That's not the same thing. Well, it was to me. So, yeah, but
Okay. Yeah. Well, at least that. Okay. You had a much better result than certain other people.
Well, right, right. And I had three friends with me. They didn't let me live it down forever, saying, yep. She goes, write it for the guards. I'm buying drugs. I said, well, he asked me what I was doing. So.
but. At least I'm certain that that age, that policeman probably has relayed that story to his buddies.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they laughed about that forever. Yes, I am sure. But you know, he at no time did he suspect that I was doing something illegal. He just thought I was an idiot, which was true. So yeah.
Okay. But you know, the sad thing about it is that you hear about, like, people go down there and just say, oh, I can get myself some medical work done or something like that. Oh. The problem with doing anything that you think you can get at a cut rate price is you better be certain you know, okay, about the doctor, the facility that is happening, and the way you're going to recover.
Yeah, no, believe me, I know. And while some of them are very good and the results are very good, and I know people have saved a lot of money, the thing that I keep coming back to, if something goes wrong, you're in trouble.
Yeah, there was this YouTuber, I guess, who for some reason thought she needed a Brazilian butt lift.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I'm thinking when I took a look at the picture with you, this was because they didn't show the picture what the after effect.
Right, right.
I'm like thinking, lady, you're okay. Yeah. You're spending too much time, like a lot of people sometimes spend too much time thinking about the front end as well. we will leave it at that. Okay, where the dimension things, that famous dimension things. But anyway, it's like, okay, first off, okay, I'll just mention what ended up happening was that, and part of what happened was when they did, after they did the, she got infected and wanted the things that was put in or something like that, and she wasn't very fortunate, although there was a similar story. Apparently, some young lady got real lucky. Somebody, they happened to get her to the hospital just as it was happening over here in the U.S. Yeah. And obviously, they had to take both of those things out.
Yeah,
at the very least, she's okay. She's alive.
Right,
and
right.
And can live to tell.
That's right. There are absolute horror stories. Like I say, it's great until you have a problem. And then, oh boy. Yeah. But I don't know. I guess I haven't heard anything else about John Heathcoe and Abby Lutz. But I am curious about what this is going to be. Because the hotel denies anything. Say, nope. It wasn't carbon monoxide or anything like that. This place is just perfect. And, of course, the background of these people would be normally that you wouldn't think they were doing anything they shouldn't be doing. So I wonder if we'll ever know.
But, you know, there's some very strange stories that come from there. Like, just think about this. Johnny Carson's had one of his... show models went down there and drowned. They said supposedly drowned.
Yeah,
and they're like thinking everybody said, "Hey, she was petrified of the water. She wouldn't have gone 10 feet within 10 feet of it."
You're talking about Carol Wayne, the Tea Time movie girl. and the matinee lady in the Tea Time movie. Yeah, Teresa Ganzel was her real name. Yeah, there were a lot of questions about that death, and not so much that it... And she was born in Chicago, by the way. She was a Chicago girl, and she started as a skater in the Ice Capades. And they were showgirls at Follies Bergère at the Tropicana in Las Vegas, and then they got to Hollywood, and you know they were looking for bit parts, and they did it like on Bewitched, I Dream a Genie. But the deal was that the Tonight Show got her for those Tea Time movie matinee lady thing, and she was on the Tonight Show over 100 times. Art Fearn's Tea Time movie. And so that was the deal. She was actually married 3 times, and so so what can I say about that? And she was married to Bert Sugarman for a while, the guy who did Celebrity Sweepstakes. But anyway, so 1985,
Manzanillo. But the only thing they did say was that somebody took her luggage back, and the guy who took it back was the same guy who was wanted for another somewhat mysterious death, which involved, I think, Art Linkletter's daughter.
Oh, I thought that was an LSD thing.
I think it was Linkletter or one of the other ones that famous where the daughter died under mysterious circumstances, but I think it was Linkletter.
Okay, well, that was the LSD thing, right? I remember that well. But but the deal was she was there vacationing with a boyfriend who was a used car salesman. I'm not making that up. He was. And supposedly they had an argument, and she went to walk on the beach, and then 3 days later a fisherman found her body. And the autopsy showed no alcohol, no drugs, and they said it was accidental. So we'll never know.
Yeah, and I think, but I'm pretty certain I would not want to be that used car salesman at the end of the day none of us want to actually end up there, but I would hope that he will have at least purged his conscience.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal was, and but I think there was somebody else supposedly that, but other than being a used car salesman, he had a bit in Hollywood too. I think he wrote some stuff, and he was directing some, you know, in fact, a Charles Manson movie, I think, or someone inspired by Charles Manson. I kid you.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was called I Drink Your Blood. I'm not making that up. I Drink Your
Blood. Oh, I thought that sounded more like a vampire movie.
Yeah, but he's dead now. He's been dead since about 2010, so I guess we'll never know. But there were a number of people who asked about what his role was, and I have no idea.
Yeah, in fact, even the Mexican police had wanted to talk to him about both cases.
Well, yeah, no, absolutely. So, but I guess whatever it is went with him.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you betcha. All right. Well, good deal. Yeah. Well, thank you for the links, and thank you for coming back to life. We were wondering.
Okay. Right. I know you were saying, oh, no, this can't be like...
It was not going to be like Scotty. No, no, no. We'd come and snatch you back. All right.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Okay. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Okay, so. You take care. You sound much better.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. All right.
Okay.
So, yeah, yelling at customer service just brings out the life in me. Oh, man. No, I'm just horrified. But anyway, 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. And we got Mark, and we got Leah, and we got room for you two coming up on WGN Radio.
Every time we meet, everything is sweet. Oh, you're so tender, I must surrender. My love is your love now. keep me in your heart. Never let us part. Ooh, never leave me. Please don't deceive me. I want you only. You must believe me. You're the one that I long to kiss. Baby, you're the one that I really miss. You're the one that I'm dreaming of. Baby, you're the one that I love. I adore you, and no one before you could make me feel this way. Yeah. Since I met you, I just can't forget you. I love you more each.
And radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there it is. That is for Annette. You're the one. And that was, yeah, it was. Well, yeah, Annette, right. Okay, good. 1965 was the first record that charted for the Vogues. And interestingly, it was written by Pet Clark and Tony Hatch. And Pet Clark had had it out, not to any success here, but earlier. And then here come the Vogues. And they were from suburban Pittsburgh. And it was on Blue Star originally. And then Cohen C. picked it up, and Cohen C was Herb Cohen and Nick Cenci, who were the big record distributors in Pittsburgh. And so, yeah, it got to number four nationally, and that was followed up by 5 O'Clock World, which also got to number four, and that was the two biggest hits for them, although the one that came after it, Magic Town, I think was my favorite. Yeah, that's the one I loved, and that only made it to number 21, Barry Mann and Cynthia Wheel. All right, so we'll pick it up there. We got Mark, we got Leah, hopefully we've got you too on WGN Radio.
Ba 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 brand. Ba 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 brand. But I knew they wouldn't do a Bopperan, Bopperan. Take my hand, oh Bopperan, Bopperan. Take my hand, you got me rocking in a rolling, rocking in a rhythm, Bopperan, Bopperan, Bopperan.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that again is a happy birthday for Barbara Ann from her brother Sam. Yeah, that's the Regents, and that was Ernie Maresca's group, and yeah, as in Shout Shout, Knock Yourself Out, and those Dion records that he wrote and produced. But the Regents were on G, which was, of course, one of George Goldner's labels that, due to his drinking habits, he lost to Moish Levy, who bailed him out yet again. So that's why the reissues were always on Roulette, but originally in 1961 on G. So 888-876-5593. Leah is in Marcus Hook. So what's up, Leah?
Hi, Raleigh. How are you tonight?
I'm tired. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm okay. I just want to say about that couple that they found in Mexico,
yes,
dead.
Yes.
Yeah, I heard a news report that when they went into, when the, I guess the CSI people or whatever went into, you know, process the scene,
uh-huh,
they became overcome with some kind of whatever smell or whatever was in there.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, and that's interesting.
And became lightheaded and dizzy,
yeah,
and
wow,
and yeah, became lightheaded and dizzy at whatever smell was in there. So it could have been something like carbon monoxide poisoning.
And the hotel swears there's not an inch of truth to that, and it's all been checked out, and it's healthy as can be.
The hotel says.
Right, yeah. Yeah, right, I wonder. But I haven't heard anything else official, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. They say it could have been something toxic because they were overcome when they went into the room. They got lightheaded and dizzy.
Wow. Wow. Well, yes, it absolutely could have.
That's what I heard on the news. So,
yeah, and that's so insidious, you know, because when you're exposed to something, it's very often you just go to sleep and that's it.
Yeah, I don't know. If they smelled it, if they were lightheaded and dizzy, I don't know. It wouldn't be carbon monoxide poisoning, would it? Because you can't smell carbon monoxide.
Well, not ostensibly, no. But, you know, I mean, there's so many possibilities here if we're talking about that besides just carbon monoxide. But, it could be. But, you know, we'll see. Hopefully they'll continue to investigate it. It's a high-dollar resort, that's for sure. So I don't know if the fix is in that the hotel will be cleared. I have no idea. And, of course, I have no idea what went on. So not sure we'll ever know. But I just think they're an unlikely couple to have, been binge drinking or anything like that.
Yeah. And when your friend said that people are doing things that they shouldn't be doing down there.
Yeah.
Does he mean the people that get kidnapped too?
No. Obviously, but for the it depends. For the most part, if it's a deal where it's just tourists from the States going to an established upscale resort, it's his opinion that there's always more to that story.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But,
I don't know, like that family that got kidnapped and two of them were killed and everything. I don't think they were doing anything wrong.
I have no idea. I know that it's the Wild West in the border towns. I have another friend whose father went back home, and she talks to him regularly. And I don't think he's in Chihuahua, but he's nearby and in a border state. And he said, well, I'm all right as long as I never leave the house after 9 at night.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he said, if I leave the house after 9 at night, probably that's the last time you'll hear from me. But as long as I'm only out in the day, I think I'm safe. I thought, I don't know.
Being in Philadelphia.
Yeah, well.
Downtown Philadelphia.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, it's bad. It's bad.
Wow.
It's really bad.
Wow.
Children and everything are just, dying every day.
Well, yes.
In the city of Philadelphia.
Well, and so, I mean, look at Chicago. I mean, the numbers are absolutely startling. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It is alarming all the way around. But as I say again, I think it sort of reflects where we are societally. And I think for the most part, people are not in a good place.
No. I mean, I just had a fight with my friend, my best friend. She is, wigging out on me.
What's her problem?
I bought her a housewarming gift, and now she's saying she doesn't want it, and I shouldn't have bought it for her, and it makes her feel weird that I bought her a present, and I'm what? I don't get it.
That's pretty bizarre.
It's bizarre. It's bizarre.
Yes, that is downright bizarre. I mean, if there's no more to that story, that's out there.
Well, because I bought her two things. I bought her a painting, which she loved.
Okay.
And then I bought her this rug because she said, I thought she had hardwood floors, right?
Okay, yeah.
So she said she needed a rug for the bedroom.
Okay.
So I bought her this rug, which is blue, which is her favorite color, so I knew she'd like it. She doesn't want the rug.
Okay.
For some reason. And I said, fine, give it away or throw it away or whatever. I don't care. I can't take it back because I bought it on Facebook Marketplace.
Okay.
So, I said, do whatever with it. I don't care. It's your rug. You do whatever with it. If you don't want it, give it away to someone. I just can't take it back,
Right.
And she got all upset. And I said, let's just forget about it and not talk about it anymore. It's forgotten, And she just wanted to go back over it and rehash it. And I'm the type of person who, is just just flip the script, just forget about it. It's over.
Right.
I don't like holding grudges, and just going over things over and over and over. Oh. And she just wants to rehash things over and over. And I just can't stand that.
Well, it sounds like she's got a lot of unresolved issues, and you don't need to be her de facto shrink. But, I would worry about anybody who was dissing a gift. I mean, what's wrong with thank you very much? And if you don't want it, well, you just don't tell them. Yeah.
You quietly re-gifted or
right,
something.
Or something.
You know?
That's right. You know, or if it's something that you're going to have to explain, you know, oh, it was terrible. You know, I dropped alcohol on it, and then a match found it, and the house almost went up. We had to get rid of it. You know, whatever. Come up with a story. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Well,
I'm not like that. I don't, you
well,
know.
You're probably better off to sever that particular relationship. So.
That's not going to happen. She's my best friend. But
Well, I'll tell you, depending, life is just too short, you know. I mean, depending on the joy to angst scale, if she's giving you more problems than she's bringing you joy, well, that's time to whittle the list.
Yeah. Not
right.
A big list. So.
Well, that's probably all right, too. All right.
And her sister's daughter got mad at me because I said something bad about Taylor Swift on Facebook.
What? I love the way you and other people have the time for this. You know, I'm very jealous about this. Where the hell do you find the time to write on Facebook about Taylor Swift or anybody else?
Because I'm an insomniac. I'm up all night. I can't sleep.
Well, I can't either, but there's always work to do.
Well, I don't have any work to do. I wish I had some work to do. I wish I had a computer and I could work from home, but I can't afford it, so.
Well, you should find some deal where they'll give you the computer.
Yeah, I'd like to, believe me.
Yeah, some job
but
where they
I
provide
the
computer.
Service every month. I can't afford the...
I don't know. If you had the job, you could.
If I had the job, I could, but I couldn't afford to get it in the first place.
Well... I think there's probably a way around anything if y'all look for it.
Yeah, there's a school I want to go to, but I can't afford it either. It's like over $1,000.
What is it?
It's cat training.
What? Cat training? Now.
Yeah, cat training.
What would you do with a certificate in cat training?
You would train cats.
Is there a call for that?
Yes, there is.
Is it even possible?
Yes, it is.
And you can learn this.
Cats are very trainable. Cats are very trainable.
Well, I mean, can't you just, like, go online and look up how to train a cat? Won't they have, like, the beginner's guide right there? You don't need a class?
No. It's a whole course you have to take.
Well, I don't know.
It might go up to $2,000.
Well, I just looked online, and they've got Cat School, How to Train a Cat, the Ultimate Cat Training Guide.
That's it.
So, Cat School. Yeah, well, I think you could probably whittle your way through some free online sites as long as you've got a cat to practice on and learn this on your own. Do you have a cat?
No, not right now, but we're getting one.
You're getting one. All right, and what kind of a cat will that be?
I don't know. I want a black cat. But
get
I
a Maine Coon.
No, they're too much work.
Well, yeah, but they're more like dogs.
No, see, I don't want that.
I see.
I want a cat.
Uh-huh. Well, there's a number of sites that tell you how to train a cat for free.
No, I know how to train a cat, but if you want to work for other people training their cat, you have to have this certificate.
Well, I don't know why. I mean, if someone is in trouble with their cat, I don't think they'd ask to see your certificate. They just want to find out, can you fix the cat?
You think?
Yes, I do. Firstly, I would think that the cat owner has to be in a world of hurt to be looking for a cat trainer as it is. Because theoretically, it's the cat owner's job to train the cat. So we're talking about people who cannot accomplish this for one reason or another, but still want this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't think that any of them are going to...
Well, there's the dog whisperer. Why couldn't there be the cat? Well, I mean, there's already a cat whisperer, Jackson Galaxy, but...
Of course there is. Well, I think most people who are in trouble with their cats probably wouldn't ask to see your certificate. If you could really demonstrate that you could fix the cat, that's all they need.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Now, the next thing is cat training. I mean, obviously, I don't think it's so much as teaching the cat to fetch a ball or anything. I assume this is breaking bad cat habits.
Yes.
So there
like
is...
Like if there's two cats and they're not getting along, and what do you do?
Kill one. No, I mean, who said that?
No. Oh, no.
Well, leave them alone and that's what's going to happen. But no, here's the deal. Is it, you know, problems with their scratching the furniture?
Yeah, that's an easy fix.
It is?
They make these plastic things that go on the back of the couch that you can just attach.
That's the back of the couch. But what about the arms and the chair and the seats and the other, you know, the backrests?
Well, just get cat scratchers and they go and scratch on those, those posts instead.
And that works, does it?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Well, see, you could set people up who don't know this. See, I don't know this, but I wouldn't have a cat.
Right.
So,
but
yes.
Like there was someone in my doctor's office last time I went, and they said they just got a cat and they never had a cat before, and I was telling her, you know, all the stuff to do with a cat.
Well, I wonder what possessed them to get a cat.
I don't know what possessed her to get a cat.
Yeah. Well, they also have the Animal Behavioral College Cat Management and Training.
AnimalBehavioralCollege.com
yeah.
or .org?
Yeah, AnimalBehaviorCollege.com.
Okay.
Yes, cat management and training. See, I think cat management is an oxymoron myself.
No, they're very trainable.
If they want to be.
I've lived with one.
Yeah, if they want to be. But see, and I respect that in the cat. You know, the cat's only going to do what the cat wants to do.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, so that's, as a trainer, you have to make the cat want to do it.
Training husbands right. might be more lucrative.
John said training husbands might be more lucrative. Practice on Albert. So.
Okay, that's good advice.
All right, yes. Well, let us know how it's going. But yes, I think you can probably, with enough searching, do this without a certificate online, all the things you need to know.
Okay, thank you.
All right, good deal. Thanks, appreciate it. All right, so,
bye.
Yes, I have utterly no idea how to... I'm telling you, I don't think you can train them. I just don't, because the cat has to really want to do it. Yeah, good luck on that. All right, so we'll get to Mark and Aurora. There's room for you, too, 888, maybe, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
What my baby needs now, a little more loving. Found myself feeling sad, but then I remembered all the times that we had. Then I know it wasn't what I was doing. I found out for myself it was what I wasn't doing for you, and I say, what my baby needs now, a little more loving. Ah, what my baby needs now, a little more loving. Ah,
some people laughing, they don't know what it's all about.
WGN Radio.
I know it's true.
I'm Riley James. That's James Brown and Lynn Collins. And Lynn would have turned 75 last week. Sadly died in Pasadena from cardiac arrhythmia in 2005, just 56 years old. What My Baby Needs Now, 1972 on Polydor. All right, Mark in Aurora is going to close it out. The last 5 minutes or so are all his. So, Mark, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, I
you remember how excited I was about the Sea Crane Skywave 2B, the new one.
Yes.
Well, I've just recently acquired another piece of technology that I'm very excited about, and that's the Apple EarPod Pro.
Aha.
It's the earbuds that are Bluetooth. And okay. I'll just tell you three things that I really like about them. One is that I had my air conditioner on tonight, and when I turned the noise-canceling circuitry on the air conditioner, it was as if it disappeared.
Wow.
And then the second thing I like about them is that either they have exceptionally good equalization circuitry or exceptionally good transducers, because mm-hmm. when I listen, for instance, to classical music, it sounds like I'm in a big concert hall. And that brings me to the third thing I like. When they're connected, they put a note on the iPhone which says, these will adjust the spatial dimensions of the sound to the geometry of your ear. And I thought that was a gimmick. But I listened to a radio program with a piano in the background, and I swear I was hearing a three-dimensional piano.
Wow.
And I don't know how they do all this stuff, because normally you have to have your outer ears involved, because they're part of what gives you the front and back sense of direction. Mm-hmm. But apparently these little devices can give you the full three-dimensional spatial effect without involving your outer ears.
Wow.
I don't know how they do it, but when I first bought them, I thought, well, I'm not really going to want to return them because I'll have to pay the restocking fee, and they're probably overpriced because they have the Apple name on them. I now think that they're a bargain.
Wow, and they are pricey. I mean, comparatively, they are pricey.
$250,
yeah,
I think.
What I know.
Fortunately, I got them on sale.
That's good. What I've heard about it is that the two are much better than three, because three are all plastic. And I hear that the second generation, yeah, the two are the ones to get.
Well, and the third generation are not pro.
Right. So, yeah, this is kind of the gold standard, the AirPods Pro 2. And all right. Well, I'm glad you like them.
As you can tell, I've been pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, well,
I didn't expect them to be this good.
Yeah, damn good thing too, because for $250, even though you got it for less than that, I mean, for that type of a list price, it better be that good.
Well, the restocking fee may not be so unreasonable when you consider that if they get a pair returned, they can't really reuse the earbuds that you've used, because they're going to have potential earwax on them. And then they might have to sanitize the whole set of earbuds.
Probably.
And all of that involves man hours and so on.
Yeah,
so,
no problem. I hope they would if they're going to be selling them on the used market. I hope to hell they would. You betcha. All right. Well,
Why the restocking fee is so high.
Well, and rightfully so, I would agree. You've ended the show with a good suggestion, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Right, thanks.
Good
Appreciate
morning.
It. Okay, bye. Yeah, I know they have headphones, the Apple AirPods Max. They're like $470. Unbelievable. All right, so Bob kept us on the air tonight, and we're glad about that. John screened your calls, and I'm grateful to him, but I'm mostly grateful to you for calling. It makes it so easy to do. So do it again tomorrow night, 21 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.